Hear this invitation to worship. God's voice speaks to our chaos, echoing in our empty hearts, gathering us together to remember our baptism and to feast at the table. God's voice flows like the living waters of grace, our new name, beloved, resounding in our souls. God's voice stirs the waters of baptismal love, calling us to be bearers of peace to a world of broken dreams. Let us continue our worship.
Baptized in water, sealed by the Spirit, cleansed by the blood of Christ our King. Heirs of salvation, trusting his promise, faithfully now God's praises we sing. Baptized in water, in water, sealed by the Spirit, marked with the sign of Christ our King. Born of one Father, we are his children, joyfully now God's praises we
at Asbury United Methodist Church. We are so glad that you decided to join us today when there are so many other choices out there. We'd like to know here at the Asbury, with the Asbury family, who you are and why you chose to worship with us. So please take a moment to register your attendance using the link provided. As we worship today, there will be many opportunities to celebrate God's presence in our midst. This is the day when we celebrate the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. And later in the service, you will have the opportunity to reaffirm your baptism. So I encourage you to take a moment, if you haven't already, and find a bowl and put some water in it. Because later in the service, you'll have the opportunity to dip your hands in that water as a sign of your remembrance of your baptism. And now as we continue to worship, I would ask you to join me in prayer. Loving God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to gather today in worship, to declare your light in the midst of darkness, your hope in the midst of trouble, your wisdom in the midst of what seems to be insanity. We do not have words, really, for what we have seen and observed in the past week, but we are grateful to have been brought to the beginning of a new week, to be able to step off and begin it with this Lord's Day, to once again declare with faith, with passion, and with assurance that you are in control, that your good will be worked out, and that we, your people, putting our hope and our trust in you, can be beacons of light for the world. And so we gather our hearts and minds today to pray this prayer together. New every morning is your love, great God of light. And all day long you are working for good in the world. Stir up in us desire to serve you, to live peacefully with all of our neighbors and creation, and to devote each day to the service of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now let us continue our worship in song.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. And I've tasted and seen the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen and good morning. What a joy and a blessing it is to be with all of you today as we celebrate the baptism of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I was in seventh grade, I had a young man who sat behind me in English class, and his name was Tony. And Tony was Hispanic, and one of the things that he always loved to do that he thought was really funny was to teach us seventh grade kids inappropriate words to say in Spanish, because he knew that we would parrot them, and we would always get in trouble. And for seventh grade kids, especially seventh grade boys, you find that to be quite funny. But here's another thing about Tony. About halfway through the school year, Tony was diagnosed with cancer. And he was already a pretty small and frail kid prior to him getting sick. But as he got sick, it only got worse and worse. And he would miss a lot of school. And when he was there, you could tell that the disease was having its impact. I think he came to school just to have some normalcy in his life. He was not with us when eighth grade rolled around. But one of the things I remember that was absolutely beautiful that you saw a bunch of immature seventh grade kids do is as Tony got weaker, kids would take turns carrying his backpack from class to class for him. I had the opportunity to do that. And I tell you that story as a metaphor to remind all of us that whatever might be weighing us down today, whether it's things that are going on in our personal life or events that may transpire in our nation or in our world, the emotional weight that is carried with that, we have a loving Savior that is there ready to take that and carry that for us. So regardless of how you may feel today in what has been a very tough week for our nation, however you may feel emotionally, mentally, spiritually, you may feel drained. I invite you this morning to leave all of that at the foot of the cross, to drop that backpack off and let God carry that for you. Because here's a piece of true news, and it's the truest piece of news that you will receive this week or any week. Regardless of what happens in our nation, around the world, or in our lives, Christ is still on the throne. God is still in control, and we still have the joyous blessing of participating in and living out God's providential story every day. So it's with that attitude of joy and blessing, that desire to give over our burdens of doubt, anxiety, and fear over to God, that I ask that you join me in a word of prayer. Gracious, loving, and almighty God, we gather together this morning as your beloved children. While we may not be gathered in person, we are gathered virtually through the miracle of modern technology. And we are thankful that you have created a pathway for us to be able to stay connected in a time where we have to stay apart. Now, we all come to you this morning in different conditions. There are issues that plague every single one of us. Some of those are common issues. Some of those are personal issues. But we know that you know what those are. We know that you see into our hearts, that you breathe into our souls, and that you, as we speak, are putting the pieces together to bring us the necessary healing that we seek. So God, we gather this morning in an attitude of joy, in an attitude of thanksgiving for all of the blessings that you continue to pour onto, into, and through our lives. God, this morning we pray for our nation. We pray for the hearts and minds and souls of all of your beloved children across this nation. There is nothing that unifies us in this world other than the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. So we ask this morning that you transform us, that you empower us as your children, as your disciples and witnesses in the world, to go out and be the healing power that this country needs. May you work through us to help us all see that we are brought together by your love, by your grace, by your mercy, and by nothing else. This morning we pray for our leaders here in the country and around the world. We pray for the outgoing leadership. We pray for the incoming leadership. May your will be their priority. May it be the first and last thing that they seek in all that they do. We ask that you pray, you are with all of those around the nation who are hurting, who are sick, who are lost, and most importantly, God, for all of those who have run and turned away from you. We ask that you are with all of those. We ask that you are with all of those who are sick today, who are afflicted with this virus. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. We pray for our frontline workers, the brave doctors and nurses and staff that fight this disease every day. We pray this morning, God, for our law enforcement, for our first responders, for our firefighters, for our brave men and women who seek to keep us safe. We pray this morning for the brave men and women of our military, God. May they be a light of freedom and hope, both here at home and around the world. We pray this morning, God, for our Christian brothers and sisters, both here and around the globe, who seek to bring the light of your world, of your word, into this world. May you provide them with a hedge of protection, God, as they move in dark and dangerous places, so that they may share the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, with all who will hear it. And God, we pray this morning for our family here at Asbury United Methodist Church. We pray for all of those who are dealing with something, God. It might be emotional, it might be mental, it might be spiritual, it might be physical. We ask that you are with them. We lift up these names specifically. We lift up our brother, John Wayne, on the passing of his wife, Gwen Wayne. We pray for Carolyn Gaddis, Elsie Adkins' sister, on the passing of her husband, Ken Gaddis. We pray for our brother Nate Hill, for our brother Craig Cogbill, for our sister June Glazier, our sister Gwen Thorne, our brother Kelly Ponder, our brother John Housworth, our brother Clifford Smith, and our sister Jesslyn Sinkhorn. And we pray for all of those whose names are on the tips of our tongue, in the front of our minds, and at the top of our hearts, God. May you continue to do your will in them. We give thanks to you this morning for your Son, Jesus Christ. As we honor the powerful moment of his baptism, may we continue to hold dear in our hearts his powerful love for us. May we continue to be guided by the Holy Spirit, left after his ascension to lead us into the future. May we continue to adhere to the teachings of our Savior. May we continue to reflect that to the world. And above all, God, may we continue to come to you and solicit you in prayer. May we pray the way Jesus taught us to pray, which we will do now together with the Lord's Prayer, by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I know that so many of you have probably been robbed of vacations this year due to the pandemic, so I thought we would take a moment and just enjoy a virtual 4K tour of the town of Ephesus, which is where we find ourselves this morning in the scripture and in our lesson. The city of Ephesus was a major, major city, a city of great importance in the Roman Empire. It sat on the coast of what is modern-day Turkey. And it was a major port of commerce. It was a major port of business. It was a thriving, successful community, a wealthy community, a well-to-do community. But it was also a community that was ravaged with idolatry, with worship of a multitude of gods. In fact, the temple to the god Artemis, which was in Ephesus, was larger than the Parthenon. They took their idol worship very, very seriously, and they were so easily drawn into it. Paul, for many years, tried to get to Ephesus. And if you know the scripture well, if you know the book of Acts well, he was turned away by the Holy Spirit because he sent to other places. And I think so often in our lives do we think we're heading in a certain direction only for the Holy Spirit to stop us and quickly turn us into another direction and move us down a path that God desires for us to go. But at this point in the book, at this point in the book of Acts, Paul has finally made his way to Ephesus. And it's very interesting what he encounters. Our scripture this morning is from Acts 19, chapters 1, or verses 1 through 7. I'll be reading this morning out of the NIV. Hear now the word of the living and true God. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. They were about 12 men in all. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So Paul has finally arrived in Ephesus, and there's a pastoral change that occurs. And for those of you that are Methodists now or have been lifelong Methodists, you're familiar with this. In our denomination, we call it itinerancy. One pastor goes out, another pastor goes in. And in this case, it was Apollos who had left the church in Ephesus to meet up with Aquila and Priscilla. And Paul comes in to the church in Ephesus to no doubt take over the pastorate. And I want to start out our time together by giving you something to consider. Why did Paul ask the question?
Why did Paul ask the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Seems like kind of an odd way to start a conversation. I don't know how many of you in your daily lives go to your work or your school or your grocery store and approach people and say, did you receive the Holy Spirit by chance? I try to think of what it would have been like a little over a year ago if Dee Dee had stood up here and the first thing she said was, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? You would have looked at her like she was nuts, and probably rightfully so. It doesn't tell us exactly why Paul asked this question, but we have to infer that there was a reason. Paul was abrasive, Paul was bold, but there had to have been something that he saw in this group of disciples. It doesn't say whether it was 12 men or 12 women, it just says that it was 12 disciples. It was a group of people that he encountered. Luke uses the word disciples often in his gospel and in this book to talk about those who willingly followed. But what were they following? And what did Paul see in their behavior? What did he see in what they were saying, what they believed, that caused him deep trouble? If Paul was speaking in our modern vernacular, he might have looked at this group and said, Houston, we have a problem. Because what Paul encountered was incomplete Christians. He encountered people who had heard part of the message, but didn't hear the full message. They had heard the teachings from John. They had most likely been baptized by John. Apollos was a Jewish follower of John, so they got part of the story. They were called to repentance, and then they just sort of went on with their life. Now, this was a common problem in early Christianity. What's always amazed me about the Great Commission at the point of Jesus' ascension is all of his followers are gathered together. They heard the same message from Jesus Christ that all authority had been given to him. Now go and make disciples, teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But what quickly happens is everyone takes what they heard and they go out and teach it their way. Too often in our faith, we take the unifying message of Christ and we want to follow it and teach it in our own way. This is not a problem that is just found in early Christianity. We see very similar problems today. We hear a message on a Sunday, we read the Word of God, we listen to a podcast, we watch a sermon on YouTube. And within 5 minutes, if that message has not fit properly into our worldview, we're quick to move on. We reach the point of repentance, and sometimes we struggle to move through to the true baptism of the Lord. In Romans 1:25, Paul talked about this problem of incomplete Christianity. He said, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. What Paul is saying to this group is he is saying, yes, you've come to the point of repentance. You understand what John said, but you have not gotten the full story. You have not heard the powerful message of Jesus Christ. You have not received the power of the Holy Spirit. All of us as Christians today, through our baptism, through our faith in Jesus Christ, have received the Holy Spirit. As Methodists, we call this our moment of justification. This understanding that we are, well, let's face it, we're pretty rotten apart from Christ. And so it takes this realization, this turning away from who we are and our own desires and our own beliefs and our own politics, and realizing that we are called under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and that not only can we do no other, but we can stand to have no other. And once we reach that moment, God continues to do a mighty work in us through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. When I was 10 years old, I had a good friend. His name was Jarrett. And one of the things that we would do often on the weekends that I still remember and treasure to this day is we would go to his grandparents' farm in Sweet Springs, Missouri. It was a very small rural town. But they lived in just a picturesque farmhouse with just rolling prairies, and it was this two-story, beautiful, just white farmhouse. And it was the perfect place for a 10-year-old to explore and get into trouble. There were barns full of hay that you could jump around and play in. There was animals you could chase around. I learned how to shoot a .22 out there. It was all these just special, special, precious memories. Fresh-cooked farm food for lunch and dinner. It was wonderful. But one of the things I always remembered was that Jarrett's grandpa, LeDrew, in various times of the year, would burn different parts of his prairie, of his farmland, and I always thought that was strange. For those of you that have lived in Arkansas your whole life, this is nothing new to you. It's what is called a controlled burn. And the purpose of that controlled burn is to prepare the field for the coming crop season. The purpose of it was to burn away all of the thistle and weeds and overgrowth and all of the things that can hinder the new seeds from planting deep and solid and firm and producing a great yield, producing a great crop. I think that applies to us as Christians well. I think that the Holy Spirit in us is a controlled burn. It is God's intentional work and his intentional desire to burn away all of the thistle that covers our hearts, that separates us, that disconnects us. And my friends, lately we have seen a whole lot of thistle in our world and in our nation. So we must be called as Christians to open ourselves up to that powerful work of the Holy Spirit, to put our own desires and inhibitions and wants and needs away and be open to the transforming power that comes from the Holy Spirit working deeply in us. In the Methodist faith, we call this a process of sanctification. We call this a process of God changing us, changing our desires so that we see the world the way he sees it. So that we are called to move in love. We are called to move in action. As we have seen the disharmony and discord in our country over the last few months and years and decades, I ask you a question that I asked 2 weeks ago. How are we doing, church? Is the unified message of the gospel reaching everywhere it needs to reach? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to come in deep into us and empower us to go out and be the active voice that God calls us to be? Or are we spending all of our time just preaching to each other? In 1 John 5:6-8, John wrote about Jesus Christ, "This is the one who came by water and blood. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. The Holy Spirit that is working deep within you, that came upon you when you came to faith, is in agreement with the will of God and the Word of Jesus Christ. And when we allow it to take over our lives, when we allow it to change us and move our hearts, we no longer see Christ, we no longer see God's will, we no longer see this scripture through our own worldview. We don't try to shove theology into an elephant and into a donkey. We see it for what it is, the one true King bringing his will into the world, who loves us so deeply that all he wants for us is to receive the abundant blessings that are found through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. I started our time together by sharing a quote from the Apollo mission, "Houston, we have a problem." Did you know that that is actually misquoted and often misquoted? What the astronaut actually said during that flight was, "Houston, we've had a problem." He was asked to repeat what he said, and he said, "Ah, Houston, we have had a problem." I love that statement because it is past tense. Before Jesus Christ, before the atoning sacrifice of his blood on the cross, we had a major problem. But it's spoken in the past tense. It is through his sacrifice, God's love for us, that that problem no longer holds us hostage. We are set free by that atoning sacrifice. It squares everything for us as long as we willfully submit to him. We were not able to do that on our own. We tried. My goodness, did we try? And are we trying to do that today in our politics? Trying to do it on our own. Because even in our best efforts, even in our best intentions, we always fall short. We are always incomplete. When God is not the priority, when God is not the one that fuels every conversation, something else will take the vacuum. A new idol, like Artemis, will seek to take his place. Paul lays hands on these disciples. He baptizes them. He's not rebaptizing them. He is baptizing them properly, baptizing them into the Spirit, into the faith in Jesus Christ. And they are immediately changed. You see it in the scripture. They spoke in tongues. They prophesied. I don't know the nature of those tongues. In the book of Acts, Luke writes about tongues frequently. We know about it in Acts 1 and 2, where the disciples began to speak in tongues. And what they were doing is they were speaking in a way where all could understand what they were saying. As you grow in faith in Christ, as the Holy Spirit continues to burn and move in you, you will speak in a way that will sound like tongues to this culture, because it will sound foreign. You will speak boldly and with power, and it will be a prophecy that is the only life-changing truth that we can offer. This moment in Ephesus was merely a bump in the road. The apostles had to spend so much time getting folks back on track, correcting their poor theology, correcting this desire to take what they believe about God and to stuff it into their worldly views. And it bore amazing fruit. If you move a little bit further into the New Testament, you read Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It is a letter of joy and love, because man, they got it. They got it. He says in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." It's pretty common on this Sunday morning to preach out of Luke, to preach the baptism of Jesus, the physical baptism. As a matter of fact, I looked back at my sermon from last year that I gave this weekend in the WAC to look at it and go, is there anything I need to take from this? And I couldn't take one thing, because I've realized that over the course of this last year, the controlled burn in my life has changed me so much. My will and desire and growth and faith, and I know you felt it too, has made that old news. We had a new message today. God continues to spill a new message, fortified in the truth of his constant message, in our heart. But I will touch on this. If you have read the story, and I know many of you probably have, as Jesus is baptized by John, he comes up out of the water. And what does the voice coming down from heaven, the voice of God, say? This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. When we open our hearts to the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit that can only come through faith in Jesus Christ, God looks at all of us and he says, this is my beloved child. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter with whom I am well pleased. My prayer for all of us today is that we continue to give ourselves over to the mighty transformative power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Christ that was left with us, that guides us and leads us. May we use that. May we use that burning desire in our hearts to truly be a beacon of hope in this world. May we be the unifying message in a time where things seem so divided and dangerous. It is only through Christ that we may reconcile the issues that plague us today. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes to the hillside where justice and mercy embrace. There the Son of God gave his life for us, and our measureless debt was erased. Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore you, behold you, our Savior ever true. Oh Jesus, we turn our eyes to you. Turn your eyes to the morning and see Christ the Lion awake. What a glorious dawn, fear of death is gone, for we carry his life in our veins. Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore you, behold you, our Savior ever true. Oh Jesus, we turn our eyes to you. Turn your eyes to the heavens. Our King will return for his own. Every knee will bow, every tongue will shout, all glory to Jesus alone. Jesus, Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore you, behold you, our Savior ever true. Oh Jesus, we turn our eyes to you. Oh Jesus, we turn our eyes to you.
At this time, we ask that you join us as we reaffirm our faith and remember our baptism on this day where we remember the baptism of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you served those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit, God, and by this gift of water, call to our remembrance the grace declared to us in our baptism. For you have washed away our sins, and you clothe us with righteousness throughout our lives, that dying and rising with Christ, we may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now invite you, if you have water, to dip your fingers in it and make the symbol of the cross on your forehead. And as you are doing that, I invite you to remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. I now invite you to join us as we rejoice together in the faithfulness of our covenant God. You will see on your screen a liturgy that we will say together. We give thanks to God for all that God has already given us. As members of the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we will faithfully participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace.
And now, brothers and sisters, this morning's worship is concluded, but our life of faith and service, our life of enjoying the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit that both transforms and empowers us, is only begun. So go in peace. May the words of the Holy Spirit fill your mouth. The love of God fill your heart, and the courage of conviction move your hands and feet into a world that needs the good news of Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for being with us this morning. May God richly bless you. Amen. Thank you.